Good evening. I hope you can all hear me. This is DFox with the revision report. And yeah, I'm a bit unprepared today, but I think it should be fine anyway. I made a list of things to talk about. And later in the show, I will have one of our organizers, Cyrex, joining me. And he will tell you about a couple of things that we do on the technical side at revision. Well, let's start with the update. Since the last show 2 weeks ago, a lot of stuff has happened, as it always does. Maybe one of the most interesting things for you is that our timetable is almost finished, and it will go online probably tomorrow. Not a lot of changes, but we're still discussing some small things. And once we figure that out, we go live probably tomorrow during the day. Yeah, what else happened? I think 4 weeks ago I talked about that we have to apply for a special permit for Good Friday, because in Germany there's this weird Tanzverbot thing from the Catholic Church, or not from the, well, not only the Catholic Church, but the church, the Christian church in general. And yeah, sometime in the last 2 weeks the permit arrived, so we're good to go for Good Friday. And yeah, it's always one of the nerve-wracking things that we have to do, because yeah sure, they can deny us the request, but usually they don't. So yeah, we, as always, we promise them to keep the noise down on Friday, so we can have the people coming in, and yeah, well there will be a bit of noise, but yeah, oh, you know how it is on Friday. So yeah, we paid our fee of 50 euros. Probably will go to the church or something. But yeah, permit is there. And yeah, that's one of the big things off our minds. That's really useful. Yeah, something else that where you can actually help out is we are looking for quite a bit of organizers to help us out. First of all, we are looking for somebody to help us out with compo recording, and that someone should ideally have some Amiga knowledge, because yeah, well, we need some support in that area. I will read a bit from the request we made on wanted.scene.org. So yeah, we will need somebody who knows a bit about video recording and video formats and everything, and ideally that person also knows how to operate an Amiga. I mean, we have other Amiga operators there, but doesn't hurt to have someone with that specific knowledge. Yeah, and generally, what are you going to do as a recording organizer? Well, you will be working backstage with a bunch of beautiful and nice people, recording all the entries for mostly old school competitions and wild and game, and also the executable music competitions for the old school computers, like the C64, Amiga, Spectrum, and Game Boy, and whatever hardware you can come up with that can output sound. So yeah, what does it mean in terms of commitment? Well, as I said, during the party, we'll be, yeah, mostly, not mostly working backstage, but quite some time will be spent there. There will also be probably some interaction with the visitors, like if a visitor has a problem with an entry, and an entry doesn't run on the compo machine, you have to talk to them and, well, help them fix things, or like make it work on our machines. And yeah, and ideally you can be available during the build-up already, because we kind of want everybody to be there for the whole experience, meaning build-up, party, and teardown. It's not just about like having a lot of hands to help with the work, but also about it's also about team building. At least for me, it is. It's always nice to have many organizers there during all times, so you can bond, you can share stories, you can get some experience and exchange thoughts about everything. So yeah, if you're interested, check out wanted.scene.org and drop us a mail or like answer to the request there, and we'll get in touch and let's see if we can integrate you in the team. Yeah, but it's not the only team that needs more personnel. We also have need for people helping out in the info team, as we do every year, because info team is the team with the most fluctuations. There's no official request or like an ad out there on wanted.cnet.org, but we'll post something quite soon. Just a couple of words for that. Info team might sound like a boring job or like a, well, yeah, the most boring job there is at a demo party, but actually it is not. It's one of the hardest jobs there, because the info team is our central point where everybody can go with problems, be they like for compos, problems with, well, anything. If you need a taxi, if you need an ambulance, if you need some info where to buy something, the info team is there to help you. And the info team also obviously takes care of collecting entrance fees, selling shirts, selling maybe other merchandise we might have, and selling beverages, which is a big part of the work at the info team. And what people might not know is that the info team also is in charge of, like, you know, taking care that the hall looks clean, like putting away trash bags, putting up new ones, checking if everybody's all right, checking outside and inside. And yeah, they're just basically the caring angels of Revision. So if you want to be part of that team, it's a great team to be a part of. And from what I know, it's hard work, sure, but it's quite rewarding, because you get to talk with many of our visitors. So you have to, yeah, you will have to interact a lot, and that's a very, very fun part of being an organizer at Revision, I think, because you meet all these great people. Yeah. What else do we need? We also, if you. 2 years ago, we started having a newbie mentoring program, which Mulicat ran for the past 2 years. Yeah, and this year she's too busy to do that on top of the other organizing duties. So we are kind of looking for somebody to help us out there. What does it exactly mean? Well, if you're in charge of the newbie mentoring, it also means that you would be in charge of the behind the scenes program. Basically, you have to find some people who are willing to mentor. I know that Saga Music is already back for being a mentor for newbies, and I hope people from the last 2 years will be there again. And yeah, we encourage newbies to tell us before the party that they're coming, so we can organize some info sessions for them in the seminar area, and we have we assign some mentors from the visitors to them, so they can ask all kinds of questions and get into the scene a bit quicker, or so it's more fun for them to be part of the demo scene. Yeah, as for the behind the scenes tours, if you want to help us out there, that's actually a great job, because you can boss around a lot of organizers. So you can boss around Styx and Madame and myself for the main orga session. You can boss around KB or the Network Belgian. So yeah, it can be a lot of fun. So yeah, for that, we will probably also put out more info on wanted.cnet.org in the near future. But if you're interested and yeah, think you can help us out there, just drop us a mail or chat with us, and we'll find something. Okay. Yeah, let's play some music. What did I prepare? Let's see. I prepared the next track should be, yeah, it's Brigand, I hope that's a correct word, name, with the scene set Trans Anthem 2009. And I'm back. So, yeah, that was the news about what kind of help we need from you, from the visitors. Ideally, if you want to be an organizer, that is entirely possible. We need a lot of help doing revision because it's a big party and, yeah, lots of jobs there. Yeah, what else happened? Just today, I talked to some people about organizing the 5K run again, something we have for 3 years now, I think, or maybe even for four. This might be the fourth year, yeah. And yeah, so we're going to have a 5K run again. That means start going outside, start running, so you can be ready to participate in our fun run event. Yeah. What else? Yeah. Oh, budgetary things came up. So yeah, we got a new sponsor today. I cannot talk about it right now, but I will in the future. And yeah, what we also did is since we have the pre-sale going on and people are encouraged to buy the tickets already over dinertickets.de, you can pay with PayPal. Today we transferred some of the pre-sale money back to our account because we're expecting some huge builds in the next few weeks, because yeah, mostly the evac, they want a huge advance, but mostly well, they want almost everything already before the event, which is a huge financial commitment. So it's good to have some funds from the pre-sale available so we can pay that bill. Yeah. Also, we put out some news last week that airport shuttle registration is still open for at least 2 weeks. So if you're planning to come by plane and want to have a ride with your scene friends from Frankfurt Airport, or maybe from one of the other airports, go to our website and register for the airport shuttle. And Styx will send you a mail once the planning has been done. So how does it work? Usually, I mean, people register on the website, and once the deadline is over, Styx goes over the different times and days when people are arriving and tries to assign them to individual buses, and then hopefully people will be fine with waiting for a bit so they can ride with the scene friends directly to the evac, which is, I think, very convenient. So once the initial planning is done, Styx is contacting a bus service, goes over the timetable with them, and then we order different buses depending on how many people we have in each shuttle. So yeah, it's actually quite a lot of work because it's a lot of going back and forth with the bus rental company, and sometimes with some visitors, because not everybody wants to wait for an hour or two for the next shuttle. So yeah, that's always a bit stressful, but it's still worth doing it, I'm sure, because we have usually more than 100 travelers coming with the airport shuttle in each direction. Yeah, something that has annoyed us for a couple of weeks now is we have a lot of fake registrations on the Revision website, and we don't really know who this is. But if you're listening and you're doing this, please stop. We're going to find out anyway, and it's just annoying. It costs us time, and it annoys other people, and it's just, I don't know, I don't like it. It looks weird, it looks bad, so, yeah. So, big thanks to Lisu for always reminding us of new fake registrations so we can delete them from the website. Yeah. Guess those were the general organizing news. I'm going to play a track, and then I'll tell you about what kind of things we ordered in the last 2 weeks, what kind of stuff we need for revision, and we'll also talk a bit about design. We designed a lot of graphics for revision, so we did a lot of that in the last 2 weeks as well. And after that, Cyrix will be joining us for some tech talk. But first, we're going to play a song you probably know very well. It's Digital Garden from Chromac. Back again. So, what did we order? We ordered some necessities just today, some very useful things. For example, we ordered some earplugs. We always order around 1,000 earplugs every year, and the visitors make a lot of use of them. I think we use about 600 to 800 every year. So yeah, we were short in supply, and that's what we ordered again. So the usual earplugs will be available at the info desk, as usual. And one of the most liked features in the outside area is our fireplace, where usually a lot of people in different levels of inebriation gather there, talk, sing, maybe shout, do crazy things, and just having a lot of fun. So yeah, today we also ordered 3 cubic meters of firewood, which should be delivered to the Evac on during our build-up, probably on Wednesday. So yeah, you can have a nice warm bonfire. Actually, a funny story. I think it was the first revision, and we had Grid, our caterer, who was still there from the breakpoint times, and he was helping us out the first 2 years because it was very stressful for us to manage to find a good caterer who will basically take care of everything. And Ansgar was kind enough in the first 2 years to help us out there. And yeah, a funny thing was he also brought some I think some flooring or something for the outside area, and he brought that stuff on wooden Euro pallets. So yeah, what did he do? He because he didn't want for people to steal them, he chained them to a fence from the outside area. And obviously what happened was, well, once the firewood for the bonfire was gone, our helpful friends from probably Finland or Poland, they found those Euro pallets, and even though they were chained to the fence, they didn't really care, so they took them and burnt them. So there was a lot of fun discussing this with Ansgar, and he was like, oh, how can those people just take away my stuff and burn it? And we were like, Ansgar, you're doing this for how many years now? You know how crazy the people can be. So yeah, you should know better than to just basically leave some potential firewood laying around there, because yeah, the people will use it. And yeah, that's always a fun thing to remember. Okay, then we ordered something that is very important for us for the build-up. We ordered our trusty Lottie. Lottie, it's a playful name we gave to a very German piece of I don't know what it is exactly, hydraulic Hebebühne. Cyrix can probably help me out with the word here. And the thing is called Haulotte, which is a very strong German word, I guess. At least it sounds very strong. But because we use it a lot, and we really like the way that we can save a lot of time during build-up, we called it Lotti. And we even gave it a Saarbrücken car registration sign, and yeah, and glued it on it. Yeah, Cyrix, you're right. It's a work lift, sounds nice. So we use it to, well, because we have to do a lot of cabling around the hall. We have to hang up sponsor banners and adjust lights in the ceiling. So this work lift is very nice because you can drive around while it's being extended to the ceiling. So you have a control panel. You can drive around the hall very slowly, but you have a great view. So you can, I think it goes up to around 10 meters or like 8, 9, 10 meters, maybe even more. And yeah, it was kind of always a funny idea. Maybe I will do this at some point. That during the last compost, because it's so crowded in front of the big screen, we would just drive in Lottie through the main hall, install a sofa on it, and then watch the compost like in directly next to the projector. Cyrix, maybe you can find a picture and post it in the revision channel so people know what I'm talking about. Well, it's basically a huge lift. Well, TS, I'm not sure if you can have a Lottie ride free. Man, maybe we can monetize it. Yeah, have a ride around on our faithful Lottie. Yeah, I said that we have to design a lot of things for revision. Yeah, and about 2 weeks ago, we really kicked off the design topic. And what we already did is, I think I said it last time as well, we have a new wristband designed for this year, and we received a sample a couple of days ago. There was a teaser posted on Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, and we ordered the full batch, so we will have very nicely woven wristbands, probably from some children in China. But yeah, still, it's good to have those. Not the children, I mean, well, they them too, but generally the wristbands is what I'm talking about. Yeah, we also designed the goodie bags and the water bottles for the 5K run. And water bottles go in the goodie bag usually. So yeah, that is taken care of. We designed those. We'll probably order both of those things tomorrow or like at least next week, because goodie bags, I think they take around 4 to 5 weeks to get printed, and the water bottles around the same. So since we wanted to have them on time for build up, yeah, we have to act quickly. What we also did is we designed some posters. Last year we had the Evilbot poster, which was basically ripped out of the hands of dead Infodesk people very quickly, and we had to reprint some for Evoke. And we still have I think 100 or 150 Evilbot posters left, so we'll bring those to revision this year. So for those who didn't have a chance to get one, there will be some Evilbot posters there. But yeah, we will have two different posters this year for revision 2017. The designs are almost finished, and I hope we can get them to print tomorrow or on Tuesday. What we will probably publish tomorrow as well is since we had so much great artwork done by Oni for the invitation, we decided to use some of those artworks for some desktop wallpapers. It might not sound like much, or might not be interesting, but we will post those tomorrow on the website and on Facebook, and send a link on Twitter and on Poet. Because yeah, I mean, at least I know that at least our organizers want to have an individual yearly desktop wallpaper with the current revision theme on it. So yeah, maybe you'll enjoy that too. Yeah, and speaking of design, we do a lot of print things, but we also, when it comes to design, we think about how to decorate the hall, or we don't have much possibilities inside the hall, because anything we do there is being dwarfed by the size of the evac. So we usually stick to decorating the tunnel, to the even though the fire brigade doesn't really like it, because there's always a lot of paper there, and they turn a blind eye to it usually. We had some talks about the decoration of the tunnel to make your toilet experience a bit more pleasant, so you like to walk through the tunnel. Yeah. Oh, Eliso, interesting question. Is the music jingle this year as cool as last year's? That is a very good question. I haven't listened to the jingle yet. It's not done yet. But knowing Gloom and what he can do with sound, it's probably going to be pretty cool. And yeah, I hope people will dance to it. Yeah, decoration. I'm not ready to discuss details yet, also because I don't want to take away all the fun of coming to revision and experiencing and seeing what we did there. So maybe I can share some more details about that in the next revision report. Okay, so I'm gonna play some more music, and then I'll try to call Cyrex over Skype. And then we can talk about some technical things. Okay, the next track is Solace by Cordis and the Chill Out Edit. We'll be right back. And we're back. And hopefully we have Cyrix here on Skype. Hey, Cyrix.
Hello, Internet.
Hello, Internet. Yeah, this seems to work. I can hear you and hope the rest of the people can hear you too.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, first question. I'm playing the stupid guy who doesn't know anything about anything regarding revision.
It sounds
so
about...
It sounds about the truth, yeah, I know. So, first question, what is it that you actually do at Revision?
Well, a little bit of everything and nothing, kind of. So, when we started doing Revision in 2011, I was the technical lead, so kind of coordinating all the different technical aspects and all the infrastructure, and just on a more general level, like coordinating the equipment logistics and where we're going to run our cables and how to connect to the water supply and stuff like that.
I remember discussions about Arschlauch and other things, yeah.
So after, I think, 3 years of doing that, I actually stepped down from that job because it's pretty much just wasn't needed anymore. But we knew where to run our cables now, and all the people handling like the network and the video and audio orders and catering, and they knew how to do their stuff. Yeah. So. I wasn't really needed anymore, and during the party I didn't feel like I belonged to any team, so I stopped doing that and I switched to kind of the Beam team, and also more importantly the live stream side, because I thought video equipment and video stuff has always been a passion of mine.
Also sounds more interesting than telling the caterer where to connect his water supply and telling the guy with the showers where he can get his power. But still, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they all already know that by now. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but there's a couple things that I'm still somewhat involved in some of the more general technical planning, and a couple things I still handle. It's just how it evolved.
Okay. We can talk a bit more about streaming later. Why don't we do this right now? Streaming. You're since last year or 2 years ago, you're in charge of the streaming chain, meaning you organize how many cameras we have, where we put them, how many camera operators are filming events, and you control together with other people like Steltec and Zolo. You control our mixing desk. Yeah. So maybe you can talk about that for a bit.
It's not... I don't want to make it sound like I'm completely in charge of all that. I've started helping out in that area, I think 2 years ago, or maybe three. I don't remember. It's been so many revisions. The head of live stream was always Zolo, and then last year he couldn't be there, so that's when I actually took over the whole thing, but still with the help of many other people.
Yeah, sure. As CGI just pointed out that he's listening, so yeah, he's there to help with the video stuff as well. So sorry, didn't want to omit your name.
Yeah, I think we forgot more people. All our camera operators and the whole production team. Something that's interesting about Revision is there's always, during all times of the day, there's so much stuff happening behind the scenes. And so we have a whole team. Shaq, Accelerator, Frostfote, Steltec, and Gyroskaya, and I'm probably still forgetting some people, who were just busy editing all the video recordings and had their whole processing chain set up. And and also help with the camera and all sorts of other aspects. So yeah, a lot of people are involved in the video stuff at Revision, and we work with we sit at the Beam Team. Mm-hmm. Behind the actual Beam Team people behind it is the live stream area, where SceneSet is also on location with their own audio stream and their own shows. And then that's also where our video, central video headquarters is. So that's where all the camera signals and everything from all around the hall, they all go there. Yeah. And that's where we have very expensive and big machines with lots of buttons and colors that we edit the live stream with. And then from there we send it out to our streaming service.
Yeah. How many cameras do we have? I really have no idea. I thought like 3, 4, or 5.
We have 3 regular cameras. Usually one of them is at the seminar area, but once it's not needed there anymore because they are done with seminars for the day, we move it over to the main hall. So we have 3 regular cameras there. And we have 2 dome cameras, so these remote-controlled moving cameras. We have them mounted on the ceiling, 2 of them. And then we what thing is we're going to have new for this year is CGI, who is listening, as we now know. he bought some small additional cameras that we're gonna try and use for some additional interesting views, looking from the stage into the crowd, or when there's a band playing, you might, I don't know, stick it on the drum set or whatever. that's new this year.
Okay. Lizo is asking how many camera operators we have. I think it varies during the day and depending on what kind of event we have, yeah?
We have usually, for almost all stage events, we have 2 manned cameras. So 2 operators plus the 2 remote cameras and 1 stationary one. And who's doing that is kind of decided each day. So what we would do is every day we would have a production meeting where we would go through the plan for the day and then assign people to camera and video mixing duties for that event. I think we have a pool of like 5 people and then we assign them to those slots. So always use more camera operators because that's something where we are often short.
Yeah. This year we have sadly 2 of our best camera people and guys from the production team will not be there. So, but I hope we will still be fine. Yeah. It's gonna usually it kind of works out somehow. Yeah. Okay, camera operators. Yeah, we discussed, or I discussed the crowd reaction cam idea on the show already. And do you think we can pull it off? I mean,
I'm pretty sure we can have the camera itself. Mm-hmm. What we're not completely sure about yet is if and how we're going to be able to have a separate recording or maybe even a separate stream. Mm-hmm. For that, I have an idea for the recording and it's probably gonna happen, but I don't really want to promise it yet.
Yeah, sure. I still think it's a great idea, and yeah, hopefully we can pull it off this time. If not, maybe next year. But yeah. Okay, I think I'm gonna play a track and then we can talk about the audio stuff that we're doing this year, which is quite something new in comparison to the last years. Yeah, okay, so let me see. I hope so. Where are my controls? Okay, we're going to play Ferris with Let's Do It. Let's do it by clicking the right buttons here. Okay.
Here's after your boobies.
Something? You sort of remind me of my mother. I mean, because of your big breasts.
And we are back. Cyrix, are you still with us?
I hope so.
Yeah, okay, can hear you. That's good. Okay, yeah, so I think in the first show, and I talked about the new audio stuff we have, which is apparently pronounced Dante. And yeah, we did some tests last year, but Cyrix, you can talk about that, because I only know about the general idea, but not how it will exactly work and how it will help us improve our audio routing and general quality and reliability of the audio stuff we do.
Oh, you're throwing all the buzzwords in there.
Yeah.
So you might be thinking, you know, audio setup, what's the big deal? You know, you have some speakers and you play some demos, and well, why is it a big topic? But yeah, there's actually a lot happening with audio at Revision. So obviously we have those main speaker systems, and we have a mixing desk at the Beam Team, and the compo PCs as audio sources, and then we have a couple of microphones, and then during the when we have concerts on stage, like a band can easily use like 15 or so microphones. So with all of those signals coming in there, but even that is still, that's just, so far that's all normal stuff. But then we also have we have SceneSet for the live stream with their own separate mixing desk and their own microphones and music players. And we have some interconnections between those desks. So sometimes we want to play the SceneSet music on the main stage, and usually they want to have the main stage signal for their stream, and then sometimes they also want to have something else for their stream. And so there's a couple of lines there, and we also have the second stage where DJs are playing, and so when DJs are not playing, we also send our main audio to those speakers. When DJs are playing, we also send that through our mixing desk to control the volume. And we also have the seminar area, and of course, they want to have our main stream, a main hall audio on their screen sometimes, and sometimes we want to show their what they are doing and have their audio on the main stage. And then there's stuff like the backstage area, and they want to, because they are actually, this whole backstage area is a separate building that's connected to the main hall, and they want to they feel so far away from the party, so they got like an audio signal over there so they can hear what's going on, hear the announcements. And then there's also one organizer, the Beam Team, Bomber. He's recording everything, the whole party. He's recording all the audio from all the audio sources, and he actually said he wants to record more. He wants to have all the audio that's in the entire hall. Anything, it's any audio signal we have, he wants to record it.
Okay.
Which is a good thing, because it, sure. When we had some broken stream recordings, and Steltec fixed those, we had to use those backup audio recordings a couple times.
Generally, it sounds like an awful lot of cabling we have to do every year.
Yeah, we have all these systems that need to be connected, and usually when you run run audio cables, you just, for every signal you have, you run one long cable, and these are all analog signals, and analog signals and very long distances, they tend to degenerate, and there's noise on there, and plus it's just, yeah, it's a lot of cables to run, and you try to avoid that. And until like, I think like 15 years ago, what you used to do is you would just run what's called a multi-core cable, which is just, it's just like a bunch of audio cables, like 20 or 30 of them in one big cable. But it's, so you only have to run one cable, but it's still
a lot of fiddling with the,
still the same, inputs, yeah. Yeah, the same analog connections.
Yeah.
And so what we actually already used between the main mixing desk and the stage is a digital system. There's a few digital systems where you just run like two small cables. Actually, you would only need one, but you run two. So if one breaks, you still have all your signal. So you just run two very small, simple cables, and then you can run like hundreds of audio channels through that, and it's all digital, so quality is perfect. And there used to be a bunch of proprietary systems, and I already used one called RockNet. But was always specific to this one mixer supported RockNet, and then this one device supported RockNet. And from there to the SceneSet mixer, we had to run a different protocol. And so what we are doing now we're using a system called Dante, which is kind of on its way of becoming the industry standard currently. And lots of devices support it. That's a good thing about it. It's not this one digital connection going from point A to point B, but all kinds of devices now have support for it built in. And it's an actual network. It runs on regular Ethernet, TCP/IP networking hardware. So it's very easy to just build a grid and connect another location to it and connect another device to it. You can even, because it's just regular Ethernet and your computer has Ethernet, you can plug your computer into this audio network and then you can record everything that's available anywhere in this network of connected devices, any audio source there is. And you can also play back audio from your computer into this network in perfect quality. And we could actually run it, just use our existing party network and just plug everything in there, and then that would probably work. But then you would need to pay some attention to like configure your network so that all these audio streams have their guaranteed bandwidth and you don't have any chops or dropouts and stuff. So we still run separate cables. We just run a separate network. It's easier. But still, we just run two cables from Beam Team to the stage, and then
another second stage.
And to the second stage, and then just with that, we have access to sending every audio signal from everywhere to everywhere. So if
that's pretty cool.
If somehow on the second stage we decide that now on our second stage speakers we need to hear just the signal of the one guitar on stage and nothing else, and we can do that.
Okay, well, theoretically, if you would route this through the normal network, our visitors probably would be able to just listen into what we're currently playing on main stage. I mean, it doesn't make sense because they're already in the hall, but would that theoretically be possible?
It would if our network admins were idiots, but they aren't. So hi to any Belgians listening. it would still be like a separate virtual network, so you couldn't just plug in anywhere.
Okay.
But it could use the same network switches and cables and infrastructure, but it would be a lot of work to configure that so that it would guarantee that this audio is always has the bandwidth it needs.
Okay. That sounds cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we are kind of relying on that now, because now if this network breaks, then there's no audio in the hall anymore. Everything's broken now. So we met up sometime last year. We met with a couple of organizers, and we set up like a model of our party audio setup. Though we had one audio desk there that was the main stage audio desk, and we had the stream audio desk there, and we had the second stage audio input there, and we connected it all together, and we actually tested not the entire setup, but a pretty good model of it.
Okay.
To make sure all these devices really play nice with each other.
Cool. It also sounds that we will probably save a lot of time during build-up because we have to run, well, only two cables, or at least a lot less cables than we had to do that before. So do you think it will save us some time?
Well, a little, yeah. Generally, it's not so much less cables than before because we already used
the digital
system for some of it. But it's just a lot more flexibility. Mm. And once we have it all connected, we just we don't need to care about do we now need to run this cable from mixer A to mixer B, and then we need two cables in this direction and two cables in that direction. We just run a cable there, plug it in, and we just have the network there.
Yeah, okay. So we probably have to have some kind of master configuration interface that tells each stream a name. I have no idea how it works, but how do you identify?
Yeah.
Like, this is the guitar number 3 from the main stage.
So basically on the main stage, there would be a small device called a stage box that just has a lot of microphone inputs and then sends them into the Dante network. You configure the whole thing through a piece of software because, you know, you can just plug your computer into this network. And so we have a software called the Dante controller. And it shows you all the devices that are currently on the network. So it would show the stage box, and the stage box has, like, I don't know, 16 input signals, and it would show the main mixer, it would show the other mixer, and all these devices. And then you can, in this control, you can just configure which signal you want to send to where. So we might say that we want, but usually what we want is we want all our stage input signals, just send them to the main mixer, and then one of the main mixer outputs send it to the main stage, send one to the stream, and so on.
Cool. Nice. I like it. Yeah.
It's the future.
It's the future. Yeah. Yeah. That's a cool solution for audio. And as you said, it's not always about the amount of work, but this also sounds like something exciting and fun for the people using it to just have some new hardware and software solutions to play around with. For many people, that's a big part of doing revision, because you can play around with a lot of new things. And this sounds like one of the most exciting changes since revision started, I guess.
I guess. I've been using Dante for other events for a few years now, I think. That's why I proposed switching to that for revision. So it's not that,
exciting
for me, but I'm also not that involved in the whole audio setup. But I think it's probably pretty cool and exciting for people like Bomber, because now he can record, he can pick any signal and record it, and he can also use it to send the music from his computer to CineDAT for playing back music and stuff. And we actually talked about the scene that the mixing desk that CineDAT is using, and so, we have this signal going in there. No, we can do that via Dante. And we have this signal. We can also use Dante for that. And so in the end, I think we realized that on this entire mixing desk, we probably will use exactly zero of the actual microphone inputs.
Okay. So theoretically, practically, how does it work? How do I consume an audio feed from the network? Do I have to have something installed, like audio driver or Danta audio driver?
When you use it on your PC, obviously, if it's like something like a mixing desk that already has Danta support, you just plug it in. But if you want to use it on your computer, you get a piece of software called Virtual Sound Card from Audinate, which is the company that developed Danta. And it's not free, but it's cheap. I think a lifetime license for a virtual sound card is $20-$30, but they know what people use it for. They know that people sometimes have these large events where they need to connect a ton of computers, and they don't want to buy a license for each one of them, and so they also have like, I think, 3-day licenses or 1-week licenses, and they're just like a couple bucks.
Okay.
You need to buy licenses for that, but it's cheap.
Okay. Great. Cool. So let's play some music, and then let's see what else. What other questions I have for you? Since I don't know anything, I should have a lot of questions if I can think of them. We'll play a track by Hoffmann, and it's called Revision. With Cyrex. So, you're still there. Cool stuff about the Danta things. I'm excited about it because hopefully it means that we will have a lot of recordings, because in the last years there's always was some kind of problem that we lost some of the recordings. So hopefully this year.
Yeah, that's always the case. When you decide what you want to record, like the one thing you didn't record, that's the one thing you need.
Sure. Always, yeah. Yeah, cool for audio. Is there something like that for? I mean, I'm thinking about a lot of audio cables. We will save running a lot of audio cables. Next logical thing would be to also have something similar for video, so we can maybe have some more reliable video connections and also save a lot of cabling there as well. Is there something like that planned or like possible?
Well, the short answer is no. It's just the problem is with video is just so much higher bandwidth, so much more data than audio. Mm-hmm. And it keeps getting more. There's now we have full HD now, and we might have ultra HD and 4K in the future, and it's just massive amounts of data. And so with audio, you can just like a simple device, like a computer, can just take tens of or hundreds of these channels and send them over one network connection.
Yeah.
And with video, there's just so much data that. First of all, a regular network connection couldn't really handle many of those video streams, video signals, and then all the hardware, all professional video hardware is insanely expensive because it just needs so much processing power to handle these signals in real time. Mm-hmm. So one of those devices that we use called the Image Pro, which is basically an everything-to-everything converter when it comes to video. You just throw any video signal in there and it converts it to any other signal you need and any plug you need. Those little devices, which are just some converters, which for audio, if you would get a little audio converter or audio mixer, would probably pay like $30. For video, these Image Pros, I think they are about 10,000-15,000 each.
Okay.
And and we use, well, obviously we rent them. and we use, I think, 6 or 7 of them. And yeah, those are already pretty hard to source every time.
That reminds me that I have to make some phone calls tomorrow.
Yeah, we still need them for this.
Yeah, week. I know.
This video is just a lot more complicated, a lot more expensive. There are some systems like similar to RockNet for audio. There's a bigger system made by the same company that can do this stuff. It's kind of like Dante, but for video and audio and everything else, but it's also insanely expensive. It's what the really, really big arena TV productions use. You have these very expensive boxes, and then you need to run super high quality, expensive fiber cabling. Not really feasible for us. So what we need to do mostly is, unfortunately, run like 6 or 8 or so pretty thick and heavy and expensive video cables between Beam Team and Stage and anywhere else.
Okay.
And but there is one thing that we've been starting to test last year. There's a system called NDI, which is manufactured developed by the same company that makes our video mixer, the TriCaster. So it's developed by NewTek, and that's currently on its way to sort of becoming an industry standard, and that's what it does is kind of similar to Dante, actually. It sends video streams over normal Ethernet network, which sounds easy, but there have been a lot of systems that promised that they were able to do this, and then always they had dropouts, or the quality was horrible, or the latency was too high. And but yeah, we've been we've started testing out NDI for some things last year, and it worked surprisingly well.
Okay.
So we'll probably use that again for some less critical connections. So we won't run our main projector through NDI, and we won't run the combo PCs or the cameras through that. But we used it last year for stuff like the connection between seminar area and main stage, or another thing would be if, for example, the guys in the backstage area, if they want to just see what's going on in the main hall
without using bandwidth for the actual stream,
we would we could just tell them, hey, download this software and you can just watch the NDI signal, which is already there on the network.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, that saves us some cabling. Yeah. And that's already very useful, because video cables are also very thick and not fun to run through the hall.
Okay.
But not all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked to organizers from the Edison demo party in Sweden. And they're using NDI, I think, since at least last year, and they were quite successful with that. But I guess you're right. It's for our mission critical video stuff, we should probably hold off for a bit longer until it's maybe more widely used, or we can test it.
We might get there at some point. But for now, we just need to collect some more experience and also look at issues like how many parallel video streams at the same time this can actually run through one connection. And although actually the same company, NewTek, that makes our streaming video mixer, which is called the TriCaster, they've just created a new system, an entirely new system. It actually uses NDI exclusively internally. So you would have your video mixer, and then you would just take the video mixer itself wouldn't have any video inputs or outputs. You would just have an input module or an output module. These are separate devices that you can put anywhere you want. So we could just take one of the input modules, put it on the main stage, connect all our cameras, and then just one kind of that. And it actually uses NDI internally for all of these connections. So maybe in the future that will be... I mean, we could just go and buy or rent that thing this year. It's already on the market, but yeah, not exactly our price range. So.
Yeah, okay,
but maybe at some point we will have that, and then we have a similar setup like we have for audio now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I guess it's also a good thing that we only try one new thing a year in terms of like revolutionizing how we do things in terms of audio. Yeah. But better let's not do that for audio and video in the same year, because yeah.
Yeah. Because then if this one network breaks, then nothing happens at one. Entire hall goes down.
Yeah. That wouldn't be fun. Okay, well, thank you for all those technical explanations, which I don't know anything about. There's one thing still left, which you're also involved with, which has nothing to do with the technical stuff we discussed today. Since many organizers come from the Hamburg area, every year since Breakpoint times, I think maybe still since Mecca Symposium times, we always rent a small truck and transport a lot of equipment from Hamburg to wherever the Easter party currently is, as long as you guys are involved. And you kind of are in charge of ordering it, and kind of a lot of your personal equipment goes into that that truck as well. Can you just quickly summarize what what kind of equipment organizers actually bring from Hamburg to Revision, meaning stuff that we don't rent and we don't have to pay for, which is always very helpful for a budget.
If I can think of all of the stuff, because there's so much now, so many people.
I know there is at least one fridge in the Intertruck for the Beam Team beverages.
That's a given. We need to have the fridge always goes into in there. Let's see what's in there. A big part of it is all the network cabling. Well, not all of it. Some other organizers also bring some, but majority of all the network cables, which I don't think we've added it up at some point. It's so and so many kilometers of network cables. So that's about one euro pallet filled with network cables. And there's one big and very, very heavy pallet of power cables. That's stuff that we used to rent also from near Hamburg. So that's always in this truck, through a series of things happening. Those now ended up with me. So we still get those, but now they just come from me and still, but from actual Hamburg. I have some other stuff. I bring a couple of screens and some video accessories
and power extensions and everything.
Cables and bunch of stuff from my side.
Akrit packs some spotlights or something.
And the next stop for the truck is Akrit's place. And there's a lot of lighting stuff, lights and some speakers as well. Another lighting desk for the second stage. Additional video equipment. Lots of stuff that's just we can then take off of our rental
list.
And then, are there any other stops? I think we've now the process we have is now that a lot of other organizers they also want to put stuff into this truck, like extra computers for the beam team and also their personal stuff and all their equipment.
I mean, if the truck is there and going to Saarbrücken anyway, so if there's still room, why not? Yeah.
What we do now is we just have all those people bring their stuff to Akrit before. Yeah. So the truck doesn't have to go through Hamburg for 3 hours before it even leaves to Saarbrücken.
Yeah. Okay. I have one question actually from the Scene Set Channel. Nora Tux is asking, Cyrex, have you guys looked at Voctomix and stuff around it? It's apparently something that's used by the Chaos Computer Club for their conferences. Do you know that?
I've had a look at it. Yeah, it's basically a software video mixer. So there's some other programs out there as well that can do this. And this is what they developed. Yeah. What those do is basically you connect a bunch of video capture devices to your computer, and then you use your computer as the video mixer to do the switching of cameras and the transitions and text overlays and all that stuff. That's something we could use, but we prefer to have an actual hardware device. Not just because of the features. I love these software packages. They can do tons of stuff because it's very easy to... If you have a hardware video mixer, if it can't do one certain transition or if it can't do text overlay, then it just can't because it's lacking the actual hardware. But if you run it through a PC, it's very easy to add another overlay or something.
Yeah.
The biggest reason why we don't use something like that is, well, one reason is it would be just, we don't want to have that level of complexity where we also need to already need to set up so much stuff and all the streaming encoders and all that. So we don't want to have to set up and maintain another PC with all these video signals. But more importantly, we want to have an actual control board that has real hardware buttons and faders and transition bars and all that. And because during a live show environment, that's very helpful.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, one question from the Revision channel from Localhost. Localhost, you're asking why Revision is so expensive in comparison to the Euroference. Well, I don't. First of all, I don't think I don't know about this conference. So I have no idea what their pricing is. I have no idea how their budget is. I don't think Revision is expensive. I mean, you're getting 72 hours of demo scene experience with concerts. You have seminars. You have the compos. You have free coffee. You have bus shuttles. You have, well, basically, we are running a non-profit thing, and we also give out about around 10,000 euros of prize money. So, there are some years at Revision where we actually are operating at a loss. So, well, I wouldn't say it's expensive. And if you think about going to a Revision anyway, I think the entrance fee will be the smallest amount of your general party budget. If you're in a hotel, it costs some money. You will pay a lot of money for a hotel. You will pay a lot of, well, maybe not a lot, but you will pay something for transportation, train, plane, bus, or car, whatever, however you come there. So in general, well, I don't think it is comparable. Yeah, Scamp, you're right. It's actually a furry event.
And
85 euros for a week of furries.
Well. And Revision is still completely impossible without sponsors. So it's not like we just take the money because we can. But I'm not as involved in the whole sponsoring area. I think it's probably easier to find sponsors for something like a tech conference than it is for something like Revision, where they don't even know what it is and why it would be a good idea for them to sponsor it.
Maybe the Euro conference doesn't have any sponsors because nobody wants to sponsor furry events, but I have no idea about that. Anyway, don't want to get insulting. I hope, Localhost, I could answer your question to some extent. I don't think you will find many people who are arguing that Revision is actually expensive for what you're getting in return. So yeah, anyway, we are overextended our time already, so 1.5 hours are over. I will play one last track and closing the show now. Cyrix, thank you for discussing all the technical stuff today with
Thank you for having me.
And I'll be back in 2 weeks with Mocky as a guest, and we'll have some fun discussing Revision things in
that sounds fun.
Saturday or Sunday in 2 weeks. I will keep you posted on Facebook and Twitter and the usual channels. Okay, then last track is Keto Falling Down. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye bye.
Said everything I have to say about them. Whatever shit, when you play some shit and someone else feels inspired to like get off their ass and do something creative, positive, like that's some shit, right? Slapping. Fuck Wiley. Fuck.
Enthusiastic skill is needed. Are you bored? Are you interested?
Hell motherfucking yeah!